Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, o'er earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Hymn number 5 on the page 176 will stand as we sing. We just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us look to the Lord, our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven. We do gather afresh before thee this evening hour, and we come in through the Savior's precious and worthy and holy name. And Father, we thank thee for the one of whom we have been singing of tonight, that one who is our only and our blessed Redeemer. Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer of sinful man. Father, we thank thee for his perfect life. We thank thee, Father, for his coming into this world. And Father, we thank thee for his atoning death for sinners, guilty sinners such as us, upon that middle tree of Calvary. And Father, we thank thee for the precious blood that he shed. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that there is pardon, there's peace, there's cleansing for all who will wash in that life-giving flood. And Father, we thank thee tonight for the word of God that assures us as the people of God that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that it cleanse of us from all sin. And O God, we return thee thanks for all thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us throughout this thy day already. And we thank thee for thy presence with us this morning and help in the ministry of thy word and in the Sunday school also, we pray. Bless all who have heard your word already this day. May it live on and bring forth much fruit in hearts and lives to the glory of the Lord and the glory of Christ our Savior. And Father, we just look afresh to thee tonight for this gospel meeting. We realize, O God, that we cannot rest upon past blessings. We do need thee tonight. And we pray from this opening hymn to the last amen, Lord, that thou wilt draw near, that thou, Lord, will be one of our number, O God. We thank thee, Father, for all who have been able to gather this evening. Bless every head bowed before thee, every family and household represented. Meet the need of all our hearts and lives, we pray. Bless every believer, every child of God in this meeting house tonight, we pray. We pray that thou would bless thy people, that thou would encourage thy people in the ways of God and in the ways of Zion, we pray. For any, Lord, gone through times of trial and testing, Lord, strengthen them. Others who may be cold at heart, give that restoring grace. And any with us tonight unsaved, be the old or young, as yet know not the Lord as Savior, we pray that even tonight, by thy Spirit and power and grace, they would come to an end of themselves and come to rest upon Christ alone for salvation. Bless all our homes and our families. Unite our family circles in the Lord. Remember those unable to be with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon them. Those that are laid aside in hospital and residential care, draw near to them, O God, we pray. Those that would also tend the bed of sickness, Lord, bless them and encourage them, we ask. And others who have suffered loss in recent times, may they know the comforting hand of the Lord. Again, Lord, we pray for our land tonight. Wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that the blessing of God would be upon it. We thank thee, O God, that we're still in the day of grace and the day of opportunity. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou art the God of revival. And Lord, we just look to thee to pour out of thy Spirit upon our land, upon this province. I think of the south of Ireland. Think of the mainland of Britain. Lord, we pray, have mercy. We live in dark and ungodly days. Yet, Lord, thou hast promised when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We think of our missionaries tonight, those that labor at home and those that labor abroad. Lord, bless them and be with them and encourage them greatly in the Lord. Again, Lord, we thank thee for the outreach history in Kildare. Bless every tract and every conversation. Remember the meeting plan for tomorrow night especially. Bring people in and be pleased to see of precious, never dying souls. So, Father, bless us now tonight. Abide with us. Give help in the singing of thy praises, the preaching of thy word, the leading of the meeting. Hide man far behind the cross. Close out all that is not of thee. Shelter meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. And in everything that is said and done this night, bring glory and honor unto our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 219. 219. Another great old gospel hymn. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. And friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you must be born again, the Bible says, to enter into heaven and enter into glory. 219, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing.
Born again, he lost.
have your Bible with you tonight, I would ask you to turn, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew. We're reading tonight from Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11, beginning a reading at the verse 20 of the chapter. Let us hear God's Word, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11, beginning a reading at the verse 20 of the chapter. Let us hear God's precious Word as we read it together this evening. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he, that's the Lord Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, ye would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 30. And our prayer is the Lord would add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us this evening. We pray God will richly bless you tonight around God's word. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not saved and don't know the Lord as Savior, our prayer is this night that you'll come to know the Lord as your own and personal Savior. To those also joining us online, we thank you for joining with us tonight. And likewise, if you're not saved, we pray this night you'll come to know and to trust the Lord as your Savior. Give a special welcome again to good brother in Christ, Reverend McLernan and his wife Rona. Nice to have them with us here tonight. And pray God will bless them. I suppose we've got to congratulate them as their 50th wedding anniversary. And we pray the Lord will bless them here in sunny Fermanagh at this particular time. It's nice to have them and fellowship with them again in the gospel. Do you remember, please, the announcements for the week are as follows. Just immediately after the service tonight, there's a short meeting just in the prayer room at the side there, just for all those candidates for the baptismal service. It shouldn't be a long meeting, but just to explain the format of the meeting, the baptismal service next week. So I'd ask those just to remember that immediately after the service this evening. Tonight at 8:45, there's a youth rally in Arachnacloy Church. All young people are welcome. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We'll be long to take that meeting. Trust as many as possible will gather for the time of prayer and Bible study. Remember the children's meetings throughout the week, 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Wednesday night, Lispalaw, Thursday night, McGuire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel, and then 8 p.m. here in the church, and Friday night, the Youth Fellowship. We commend that to all the young people. Also, this coming Saturday night, 8 p.m., in Aroma Church, there's a youth rally. The speaker there is Miss Esther McKee, student at Whitfield College, and all young people there are welcome. Next Lord's Day, the 21st of April, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel meeting, 7 p.m., both services preceded by the half of prayer. We belong to bring God's word in the will of the Lord. After the evening meeting, next Lord's Day evening, we'd ask that the ladies could just wait behind just in the prayer room just to make arrangements for the supper for the forthcoming baptismal service. So ask the ladies to remember that please. Thursday night, the 25th of April, at 8 p.m., there's the baptismal service arranged, and that is in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church Hall that has been kindly granted to us for the occasion. And all are welcome, not just those that are being baptized, but all are welcome. We'd love to see a good representation of the congregation. And those that are being baptized are welcome to invite family members and friends and neighbors, work colleagues, whatever, along to that meeting. We trust that the Lord will bless, and it'll be a night of the Lord's presence, and be a witness for the Lord on that occasion. So do remember that meeting, the will of the Lord, at 8 p.m. on Thursday, 25th. Monday, the 29th of April, 7:30, we're asking just the men folk for a work party just to come along and to help with the tidying up around the grounds of the church, just in preparation for Janet's wedding on the Thursday of that week. Do please pray for the Consider Christ meeting tomorrow night down in Athy at 8 p.m. and pray for the seed sown yesterday with a good day and favorable weather. And all the town of Athy and Stradvalley were visited with the gospel. Do remember the Lord's Day, the 28th of April, our annual missionary focus Sunday, 12 noon. The Reverend Patrick Baker will be along to speak about our various outreaches in the mainland of Britain and bring God's word. And then at 7 p.m., the Reverend Weston Madole will be with us to bring God's word and speak of the outreach on the Isle of Man. There will be an offering on that day towards the work in the Isle of Man, all the loose offering, and then just an envelopes marked the Isle of Man offering will go towards that work. So remember that, make it known, invite and encourage others in. Do please pray for the Menteith family and Omagh in our church there. Brother Mr. Ernie Menteith, a founding elder of the church there, went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning, and that service is tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. in our Omagh church. And do also please pray for Brother Mr. Robert Hall in hospital and Mrs. Cuthbertson as well in hospital as well. Remember them in your prayers. Then just another wee bit of good news, our own daughter Joanna and a wee baby girl this morning. We thank the Lord that all are doing well, and we rejoice in the Lord's goodness to them. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 377. 377. We don't take up an offering during the service, but do remember the offering place as you leave. And it's a wonderful hymn of testimony. I have something in my heart that Jesus gave to me. It makes me feel like singing glory all the day. He found my captive soul and give me liberty. And now I feel like singing in glory. 377. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn.
Glory all the day. He find my captive soul.
stand for the final verse. Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 11. And with God's Word open before us, let us just unite our hearts together, please, in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy presence and blessing with us already in our gathering tonight. We thank Thee for the singing of the praises of our God and Savior. We thank Thee indeed for one tonight who lifts the burden, one who makes the burden lighter. We thank Thee that that burden bearer is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And Father, we do pray, O God, this night for any that know not the Lord as Savior, be it in this meeting or listening in online. We pray that they would realize there's only one that can save, one who alone is mighty to save. And oh, that tonight they'll come to rest upon Christ and to look to Him and to depend upon Him alone for salvation. Bless us now, we pray, as we come to consider Thy Word. Shut us in, Lord, with Thyself. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us. Fill me afresh with Thy Holy Spirit, with power from on high. And give grace and help and enablement, Lord, to preach Thy Word. May every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord. Bring glory and honor unto Thy name and all that will be said and done this night. For we ask all these things for Christ's sake and glory. Amen. And amen. The text of Scripture that I want us to look at this evening is the verse number 28 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. I read that verse with you again. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, whenever you and I think about this word "come," we think of it as a word of invitation that we often hear day by day in our speech, in the speech of others, and in the conversations that we have with others day by day. Yes, through this particular word "come," we are invited perhaps to special functions like a wedding day, maybe a birthday celebration, some other civic function in the community, maybe a church service, a gospel meeting, a gospel mission. Maybe we're invited along just to visit with family and loved ones in their home and in family gatherings. And it is interesting to note that this word "come" is used many, many times throughout the Bible. There are many, many instances of it being used in giving an invitation. You think back to the book of Genesis. There you have God inviting Noah and all of his family to come into the ark for safety before the day of the great flood. God said, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Again, think of the Lord calling his ancient people Israel, calling them to repentance, to a forsaking of their sin in the day of the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then whenever you and I come to the very end of the Bible, right to the very last chapter in Revelation, chapter 22, again in the verse 17, we have the Lord giving a tremendous word of invitation to sinners to come and partake freely of His great salvation. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,'
And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And there, right at the very end of the Scriptures, God again is inviting sinners, poor and needy sinners, to come and to partake freely of his salvation for the great satisfaction and contentment and blessing of God in their hearts and lives and souls. Yes, this word come is used by God many times in the Scriptures, and on many, many occasions we find it in association with the gospel. And God's great plan of salvation for poor, lost, hell-deserving sinners. And it is in that very same context that we find our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, uttering the words of great invitation in our text tonight here in Matthew 11, verse 28, when he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here again in the public ministry of Christ, we have Christ inviting sinners to come to him for salvation. And friends, tonight it is this wonderful word of invitation to partake of God's salvation that I want us to think of and look upon tonight. If there's one in this meeting tonight and you're unsaved, our prayer is that you would heed this invitation. If there's one tonight listening in online unsaved, our prayer is that you also will heed this word of invitation. Notice first of all here with me the person who gives this invitation. In our text it says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, during his public ministry here on earth. Notice in verse 25 of this chapter, notice what it says. It says, At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Here Christ is speaking of the great mercies of God and revealing the gospel to poor and needy sinners. And as he carries on his conversation here, he speaks in our text and he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives this invitation. This verse has rightly been called a most royal invitation, because it is from the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we think tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say that he is the sinless, spotless Son of God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he did no sin. It says there was no guile found in his mouth. The Bible says he was undefiled, separate from sinners. Even at his very trial, the enemy of Christ, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, had to say of Christ, I find in him no fault at all. Again, think of the words of Solomon, speaking prophetically of Christ in the Song of Solomon. He says of Christ, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, this is my friend. Christ is without sin. Remember Christ at his baptism when John baptized him in the river Jordan? We're told that God the Father spoke from heaven and he uttered these very words about Christ. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And why was God the Father well pleased with Christ? Because in Christ there is no sin, spotless, flawless, indeed the very perfection of purity itself. That's the one who gives this great invitation tonight. And my, whenever we think here of the sinlessness of Christ, are we not reminded of the awful contrast there is between Christ and the rest of mankind? Christ is sinless, but what about mankind? Mankind are sinners, sinners by nature and by practice before a holy God. The Bible says, For there is no difference, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he describes mankind before God in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, quoting the scriptures. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's how it is with you and I by nature. That's how it is with all mankind by nature across the world tonight. Whatever our color of skin is, whatever our creed is, whatever our class is in society. One preacher of a bygone day has said, we are born in sin. We spend our lives coping with the consequences of sin. And that is true of all mankind. All of us are guilty of sin in this meeting tonight. All of us have broken the holy law of God. Every single one of us have been born into this world a sinner. With David, we must say of old, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are sinners, sinners by nature and practice. We've inherited this from the fall of Adam and Eve, our first parents in the Garden of Eden. But not so of Christ. He who was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost was without sin. Without spot, he knew no sin, he did no sin. He is the sinless Son of God. As you think of the one who gives this invitation, see one in whom there is no sin. Not only is he sinless, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's appointed sacrifice for sin. You see, since the fall of Adam, the only way for sinful man to have acceptance with God is through Christ. Through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, through the shedding of his blood on the cross. In the Old Testament times, animals without blemish were taken. In the old Jewish law, and their blood was shed, they were used as sacrifices, and they were all pictures, they were all types, pointing to that once for all sacrifice for sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sacrifice he offered up when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. My, it is only through faith in this sacrifice that sinners, whoever they are, can be right with God. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, by his own blood, he hath obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, see the one tonight who gives you this invitation as the sinless Son of God. The one who has made a sacrifice for man's sin before Almighty God. Something else about the person who gives this invitation. Notice what he says here in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 11. Notice his words at the end of that verse. He says these words. He says, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And that means that no one can know God. No one can receive and partake of God's salvation except through Christ. Except through his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. In the state of Pennsylvania in the United States of America, there's a grave of a Civil War soldier. And engraved on the headstone of that soldier are these words that says, Abraham Lincoln's substitute. And Abraham Lincoln, he honored that soldier's grave with these words because of the fact that many soldiers in that terrible Civil War of America were dying in battle so that others may go free, so that others may live. And that soldier's sacrifice reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. The Bible says of Christ, greater love of no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And this he offered freely upon the cross so that you and I could be saved from the awful ruin and plight of our sins. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and through no one else but him alone that you and I can know God, that you and I can be acquainted with God, and that you and I can receive God's so great salvation. And my, this is the one who speaks to us tonight in words of tenderness and words of grace and words of invitation and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, this is the one that gives you and I tonight this great invitation. The sinless Son of God. The one who is our sacrifice for sin. He is the one that gives this gracious, loving invitation, the very same Jesus. Friend, tonight, as you consider these words in this meeting, realize this, that only Christ can save you from your sins. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can your sins be forgiven. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you be made right with God. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you be saved from a lost eternity and hell itself. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you be absolutely sure of being in God's heaven one day. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And only those who are saved from the judgment of God are those who have the blood of Christ applied by faith to their hearts for salvation. Oh, friend, tonight Christ and Christ alone, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the sinless, flawless Son of God, the gracious Son of God, it's the one who gives you and I this great invitation when he says, come unto me. Oh, yes, see the person who gives this invitation, but not only the person who gives this invitation. Notice, secondly, here in our text, notice the extent of this invitation. Look again at what Christ says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice that little word all there in the verse. It literally means whosoever. And in the gospel it means that no one will be turned away by Christ who comes to him for salvation. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Indeed, the extent of the gospel invitation is that all are invited to come unto Christ for salvation. Yes, in the gospel, all mankind are invited to come to Christ for salvation and freely partake of God's so great salvation. In the chapter here before us in Matthew 11, Christ was speaking directly to people who were from that region of Israel known as Galilee. And the people of Galilee, they had a reputation. It wasn't a good reputation. They had the reputation of being the worst people in the nation of Israel. Indeed, such was the awfulness of their sin that they're likened unto in this chapter, in the early part of our reading, likened unto the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. People who were known for terrible depths of idolatry and immorality and sin. Yet to that very same people, Christ speaks in our text and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What hope that brings you and I in the gospel.
Friend tonight, whoever you are in this meeting, whoever you are listening in tonight online, whatever your sin is, whatever your past is or has been, you are invited to come to Christ for salvation. You turn in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And here we read about certain people really that we would, naturally speaking, want very little to do with. But here we read of such who were invited to Christ for salvation, and they heeded that invitation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse number 9. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." There were a people down in the very depths of sin, down in the very depths of immorality and sin and all that is contrary to God. Yet there was a time in their life when they heard the glorious invitation of the gospel of Christ. "Come unto me." Friend, tonight in the meeting, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, the words tonight of our text are an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes, this invite is far-reaching. You notice there that our text speaks of those who labor. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." When you and I think of someone who is laboring, we think of someone who is under a load, someone who is toiling, someone who is working, someone that is expending effort. And that really speaks to us of those who are trying to work their way to heaven, trying to work their way, as it were, into God's salvation. My, there's multitudes like that tonight all across our land, trying to work their way to heaven, trying to work their way to salvation, depending on their church, depending on their prayers, depending on their fastings, depending on their baptism, depending upon their confirmation, depending upon their charity, depending upon their religion, their good works. And all these things in themselves cannot save the soul of man. All these things in themselves put together cannot save a man from sin. Dear friend, tonight, please realize that all the best works in the world that you may do or ever try to do, they cannot save your soul. They cannot pardon your sin. You see, the Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible speaks to us about salvation and says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You see, there's only work, one work that can save your soul. There is only one work that can save you from your sin, and that is the finished work, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Therefore, Christ says to you tonight, "Come unto me." The Bible speaks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ over in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is what John says. He says, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And that word propitiation speaks of the appeasing of the wrath of God and away from the sinner, lifting and delivering the sinner from the wrath of God upon them for their sin. My, there's only one work that can deliver the sinner from the wrath of God, the wrath to come. That is the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Not our works, not our rites or ceremonies of man, no, or of the church, no. You think of the words of Augustus Toplady, the great hymn writer and preacher of a bygone day. He said these words.
He says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And he knew that all his works, all his own self-righteousness, all that he might ever hope to do in and of himself was not enough to atone for his sin. My, he knew there was only one who could atone for his sin. And that is Christ, the eternal rock of ages. You think tonight about that rich young ruler who came to Christ, asking the way to eternal life. He asked the question, what must I do to have eternal life? A very noble question, a very vital question. Yet in conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, he boasted of his works, of what he had done, of how he had lived. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke to him and he said these words. He says, one thing thou lackest. What did he lack? He lacked salvation. You see, all his good works and all his self-righteousness could not save a soul, could not fit him for heaven and make him right with God. Is there one tonight in this meeting, one tonight listening in to this meeting? You're trying to work your way to heaven, work your way to please God. Oh, realize tonight that your own works are not sufficient. There is only one work, the work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. This invitation reaches out to all. It reaches out to those who are trying to work their way to salvation. Notice again, our text speaks of those who are heavy laden. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That speaks of someone carrying an awful burden. It describes one burdened down with the awful bondage of sin, like a prisoner in chains. Sin controls every department of their life. Their life is ruined and dictated to by sin. Yet to such people the Lord speaks in our text and in our invitation tonight. And he says, come unto me. You think of the demoniac of Gadara that you read about in the scriptures. He was such a one who was heavy laden with the burden of sin. And he heard this sweet invitation from Christ, come unto me. Think of the dying thief who was crucified beside the Lord, a life controlled and dictated to by sin and fetters to sin. He too heard this invitation in his heart and soul. Think of the woman of Samaria. Think of Saul of Tarsus. Their lives were heavy, laden with sin, yet they were able, each one of them, to come unto Christ for salvation. Friend, yes, your life may be weighed down with the load of sin and the guilt of your sin. Sin that has ruined your life and marred your life and weighs heavy upon your soul. And I want to tell you tonight, there's hope for you. Hope for you in Christ. Hope for you in the gospel. Because Christ says to you that are heavy laden with sin, he says, come unto me. Doesn't say come to the church for salvation or come to the preacher for salvation. He says, come unto me, he says, for salvation. Yes, the Christ of Calvary who died for our sins, who rose again. He is the only one that can lift and take away the awful burden of sin and lift the weight and the guilt of sin from off your soul that oppresses your soul. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, there's only one who can put away your sin. That is Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. The hymn writer says, cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Christ can lift the burden of sin. Unsaved friend tonight, listen to the voice of Christ. Yield to his invitation. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Yes, we see the person who gives this invitation, the extent of this invitation. Notice one final thought tonight. Notice the reward of this invitation. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice that promise. I will give you rest. After creation, we read how God rested. Well, in his great plan of salvation, he promises rest. Rest to all who come unto Christ. Yes, the world can give a person a degree of power, that can give them a degree of wealth or education or fame. But there is only one who can give rest to the weary sinner, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise of our text. He says, I will give you rest. And that rest, yes, has been purchased by the blood of Christ. And might is given freely by the love of Christ to all who come to him for salvation. Friend, no matter how religious you are, realize this tonight, there's only one who can bring rest to your heart. Only one tonight who can bring rest to your soul. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You may try everything that man and the world can offer, but you will never find rest. You'll always be wanting more. You'll never find true contentment. Indeed, you'll be like the dove which Noah sent out of the ark after the flood. And the Bible speaks of that dove and says she found no rest for the sole of her foot. Friend, there is no rest for your soul in anything that this world can give or offer. Think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. They tried the world and the world's pleasures and the world's sins and all that the world could offer. They found no rest. They said they were as a broken cistern that held no water. Its waters failed. You see, there's only one who can bring true joy, true peace, true rest and contentment to our souls, and that's the Lord. The psalmist speaks of the Lord and says, he satisfieth the longing soul. And he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. What is this rest that Christ brings? It is pardon for sin. When you trust him, he forgives all your sins. He blots out all your sins. It's the rest of peace with God. Listen to what we read over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 31, at the end of verse number 34. This is the Lord's promise to all who trust in Christ for salvation. Listen to what he says. He says, I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Friend, that's the rest that there is for you tonight in the gospel. God will forgive all your sins. And he says something else. He says, I will remember your sin no more. What rest this is in Christ. And also this rest means deliverance from the power and the very shackles of sin that bind our life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Turn your Bible over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. And look at the great blessing that Christ brings to the heart, to the soul that comes to him for salvation. Look at verse 18 of Luke chapter number 4. Christ says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Notice it. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Are you brokenhearted tonight? Are you held captive by the devil at his will? Are you blinded by sin tonight? Are you bruised by sin? There's a remedy, there's a balm for your soul and for your sin. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who suffered and bled and died upon Calvary's cross, who rose again. And then we can say finally that this rest, it leads to heaven, it leads to glory, to glory itself. Turn your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 14. Revelation chapter number 14 and the verse number 13. And look at the words there of the Apostle John in verse 13 of Revelation 14. He says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, save the Spirit,
that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow. And what is heaven for the believer? It is eternal rest. There is no more sin, no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartaches, no more trials, no more separations. The Bible says there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The psalmist David, looking forward to heaven, could say of the Lord, in thy presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. Friend, tonight this is the rest that there is for you in Christ. Out of Christ there is no rest. You go on in your sin, there's no rest for your heart, no rest for your soul. And if you die in your sin, there'll be no rest for your soul in eternity. Your soul will be lost, cast out into a lost eternity, the Bible says, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But oh, if you hearken to the gospel, hearken to the invitation of Christ and come to him just as you are, as a poor and needy sinner. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and trust him tonight. No pardon for sin, peace with God, and the blessed assurance of eternal rest, eternal life, eternal glory in heaven itself. We'll close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 231 in your hymn book. 231, O mourner in Zion, how blessed art thou, for Jesus is waiting to comfort thee now. Fear not to rely on the word of thy God. Step out on the promise. Get under the blood. 231, we'll stand as we sing. We'll stand as we sing. just going to close our meeting tonight with a word of prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a concern in your soul, we urge you tonight to come to Christ, trust Him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. Glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone who can save. Oh, remember His invitation tonight. He says, come unto me. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Take that which has been of Thee, write it upon hearts, upon souls. We thank Thee for everyone in our meeting, everyone listening in online who has heeded this invitation, who can rejoice tonight that their sins are under the blood, that they're saved and secure and on their way to heaven. But for any in our gathering or any listening in online still not saved, oh, that tonight, Lord, by Thy grace, they would come to Christ, come unto Him for salvation, get under the blood, and be saved for time and for all of eternity. Bless us now in our homeward journey. Give us traveling mercies. Keep Your hand upon us for good throughout this week that lies before us. And bless and speak on, we beseech of Thee. With the voice of man is silent, we pray. In our Savior's great name, amen.